This is segment number 3 of Haynes at the Range, featuring the world of ag business with Jerry Bender, as well as a letter from Lisa Schmidt. Up front, here's Jerry.
A reset in agriculture seems to be underway, and with the business of agriculture. From Wall Street to Main Street, I'm Jerry Fender. For 10 straight months, the Ag Economist Monthly Monitor has tracked the health of the ag economy through the lens of ag economists. Anonymous survey is a gauge of 70 economists from across the country. In March, economists' views on the ag economy grew weaker, but it's the erosion in the future outlook that's sprouting fresh concerns. Economists' views on the net farm income picture took a nosedive in February, but held steady in March at around $117 billion. Projection is a sharp drop from the $160 billion USDA forecast for 2023, 42% fall from the record set in 2022. The anonymous survey exposed several possible outcomes from a sharp drop in net farm income. One economist pointed out for those producers who thought 2021-22 was a new normal for commodity prices, they might be overextended heading into the latest downturn. Another economist said corn farmers could face the steepest losses this year. One economist said that it looks like corn prices will be below production costs for many producers. That has not happened for a long time, especially since the ethanol boom started about 20 years ago. Struggles this time will be for corn farmers. Producers of other crops like cotton, wheat, and rice have had difficult years. Low row crop prices will depress farm incomes in the Midwest in 2024. In 12 months, it'll be interesting to see how much working capital erosion has taken place and how serious of a problem that becomes. Forecasts show margins will continue to get squeezed, but it will be a soft landing or a hard fall. It's a debate that will continue to play out throughout this year. March survey also asked economists to outline what factors will impact livestock prices. Economists said the consumer confidence and demand driven by economic growth. Supply conditions remain tight for cattle as herd rebuilding conditions. Potential drought conditions impacting forage recovery, among other things, as well. While the doom and gloom forecast continued to haunt row crops in 2024, Ag Economist Monthly Monitor continued to highlight one bright spot in the ag economy. The Monitor asked economists what two factors will drive agriculture's economic health and today in the next 12 months. Economists say declining prices for many commodities with the mixed impact of higher cattle and hog prices, the higher production costs, including inputs, interest rates, land rents, as well as concerns about global economic growth and regulatory uncertainty. So what could impact crop prices over the next 6 months? Economists say supply is the overriding factor for grains. On the livestock side, the supply of cattle is known. With the fewest cows since 1961 and tightening supplies of beef and cattle, supply side is creating mounting pressure towards higher prices. Biggest wild card, however, though, is still demand. Just how much higher can cattle prices go? The monitor, which was done before the HPAI was confirmed in U.S. dairy cattle, jumped another $3 per hundredweight to $188.30. That means it could be 2028 or 2029 before we start rapidly expanding beef supplies. A sign elevated cattle prices could be in for a long ride if demand can hold. The strength in demand then hinges on the health of the economy. Well, there are mixed signals with the economy. Fundamentally, the signs are working in favor of beef and meat demand. In the February monthly monitor, economists cast doubt on not only if the Federal Reserve will make interest rate cuts this year, but by how much. 44% of economists said they are growing more pessimistic about any rate cuts. 37% are more optimistic. Majority of ag economists are forecasting interest rates to fall 0 to 1% at max this year. And China continues to be a major question mark for grain and meat demand. The country recently announced it will sharply expand its budget to stockpile grains and edible oils to help improve food security. However, not all economists are sold on that motive. And with the business of agriculture, from Wall Street to Main Street to your street, I'm Jerry Fender on the Independent Ag Network.
Thank you very much, Jerry. Up next, we'll get a letter from Lisa Schmidt.
Bringing the best mineral and protein supplements for your herd, it's the winning combo of Performix Nutrition Systems and Key Ag Distributors. Spring, summer, fall, or winter, Key Ag Distributors and Performix have the blend of minerals and protein supplements formulated to meet the ever-changing demands of your cow herd. Get expert advice and recommendations from the winning combo for your herd, Performix and Key Ag Distributors. Call Key Ag Distributors at 800-388-3659, online at keyag.com. Key Ag Distributors, providing valuable nutrients for crops and livestock.
This is Lisa Schmidt. Bikini season is coming soon. Dump the sweets. Choose bikini-friendly, high-protein beef and lamb from a land of grass. You'll feel better, look better, and have more friends when you invite them to dinner and serve mouth-watering lamb chops, roasts, or steaks. Call me to order now, 406-276-0159 or visit alandofgrassranch.com. That's 406-278-0159.
Here with a letter from the Land of Grass, Lisa Schmidt.
Dark chocolate. Madison Avenue connotations wrap us in glowing, warm feelings of love, acceptance, and decadence. Good dark chocolate, the kind that has just the right amount of rich bitterness mixed with sweet, is hard to find. Once, in Peru, my family and I found the darkest chocolate I've ever savored. It was too bitter for them, but I rolled it around on my tongue until it dissolved completely. Then I popped a dark chocolate coca leaf in my mouth, for medicinal purposes only, of course. We were high in the Andes, so the coca leaves helped with altitude sickness. Or maybe it was the dark chocolate that covered the leaves. Whichever, they felt sick. I felt loved, accepted, and warm all over. In Montana, dark chocolate is my friend throughout the year, not just for Valentine's Day. I keep a little stash in a cupboard, where I usually forget about it until that desperate, specific hunger for its bittersweet, complex flavor consumes me, and nothing else will satisfy it. A single bar purchased from a specialty store will last most of the year, until dark chocolate season arrives at the ranch. Dark chocolate season is my favorite time of the year, better than Halloween, Christmas, or Independence Day. Dark chocolate season hit the ranch hard and fast last week. It showed up in the form of snuggly, fragile lambs wobbling to their feet in the dawn. Three ewes claimed the first lamb. I picked up the lamb and led all three ewes into the barn, then fought off two and awarded the lamb to its rightful mama. By the end of the first day of dark chocolate season, I had walked farther than I had in the last 2 weeks, jugged seven new families, and pulled two lambs from their wombs. One lamb was so tight that I leveraged my pulling with 1 foot on the ewe's hips. All of us were happy when the lamb stood up to nurse. I made a mental note to get some dark chocolate-covered espresso beans the next time I went to the store. It looked like it might be a while. For most of the next day, I carried new babies from the west pack. The lambs nuzzled into my neck. I made a mistake with one ewe. I spotted her beginning to give birth and left her to give her some privacy. My presence makes a ewe nervous, and nervousness slows the process. I came back to a dead lamb. The placenta had not slipped off of its nose during birth like it normally does. The lamb had suffocated with its first breath. I've saved lambs like that before, but only because I happened to be within seconds of wiping the placenta away from the baby's nose. I drowned my sorrow in dark chocolate. The next day, a ewe was attentive to her new baby, but she kept circling the lamb, not allowing it to find a teat. Her udder looked sore, so I understood. I led the ewe into a jug, a small pan of straw where new families spend a day before joining the maternity crowd. I haltered the ewe and tied her to a post so I could squat and show the lamb where to find breakfast. She jumped, bucked, and tried to clear the panel. I ducked, losing my advantage of altitude, but shielding the newborn from cloven hooves. The ewe body slammed me into the wall. My head buzzed, but eventually the lamb relieved the pressure on the ewe's udder. I savored more dark chocolate. All three of us felt loved, accepted, and warm all over. From my ranch to yours, this is Lisa Schmidt.
Thank you very much, Lisa. It's sure nice to know you got ways of coping on the old farm and ranch. This is Haynes.